As cities around the world go, Los Angeles is pretty much a spring chicken compared to a city like Rome or even New York City. LA is a newcomer at the ripe old age of 241. But even though it hasn't been around too long in a relative sense, Los Angeles still has plenty of history. The birthplace of LA downtown at El Pueblo de Los Angeles is well known to most Angelenos. But there are some places in town that have been around for many years, which you may never have heard of. Today, we take a tour of some of those landmarks here in LA County with the author of the book, Oldest Los Angeles, Mimi Slahoff. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. Welcome to Fox 11 News In Depth. And joining us this week, Mimi Slahoff, who's an author, an LA native,
yes,
a travel writer. You wrote a book here during the pandemic.
I did.
And it focuses on?
It focuses on the oldest places in LA County.
And we're starting off at a place that may not necessarily be at the top of your list, but it's Rockhaven Women's Sanitarium in Glendale. It's a landmark, and while it may look a little rundown now, in its day it was warm, welcoming, and innovative. Mimi, what can you tell us about this place?
Oh, Rockhaven was founded by the psychiatric nurse, Agnes Richards, as an antidote to the prison-like asylums for women back then in the day.
And it's fascinating. It was back in the 1920s.
Back in the 1920s, back when a man who wanted a divorce could have his wife committed to an asylum.
And this was, as we now know, before or right after women got the right to vote. But it's also at a time when there were people like Agnes who cared about the mental health of women in modern, make sure that they got special attention.
Exactly. And she had she treated women with a holistic approach out here when it was beautiful, with social activities, art, occupational therapy. And the women were never called patients.
Could we compare it to like today's assisted living complexes, where, as opposed to what they do there, back then it was focusing on mental health?
Well, exactly. Actually, that's a pretty good analogy. Many of the assisted living, not all of them, do provide that type of setting where people can just interact and have some social stimulation.
And they have beautiful grounds.
And
so, the beautiful grounds happens to be important because it adds to the calming effect, right?
It has a calming effect. It's therapeutic. The women back then, who, by the way, were not called patients. They were called residents or ladies. And instead of sitting inside, indoors, they could come out here and enjoy nature.
Total respect.
Yes, they were treated
dignity.
Exactly. That was the whole idea, is to treat these women with dignity and respect.
And so you picked this particular location as one of yours because?
Well, this one really stood out to me. I didn't know about it until I was talking with a local historian, and he invited me to come here and take a tour, and it just really struck a chord in me. And when I tell people about the book, everyone is impressed too that this place exists in a residential neighborhood.
I think one thing that's particularly interesting is the fact that you wrote this book during the pandemic because you're a travel writer and you couldn't travel.
Exactly.
And so instead you traveled to places like this.
Yes, exactly. It made it very exciting for me. There's so many places like this, unique places within LA County.
There are many unique places right here on this 3.5-acre property. Let's get up, let's walk over this way and we'll take a look. You know, right up here, you've got what the statue is called, the Lady of
Rockhaven.
And tell me a little bit about the history on her.
Well, she's the symbol of Rockhaven. And if you look closely, you'll see that there are many details. And it represents the details here on the property.
It is very detailed, actually. You can see the fingers.
Yes, exactly.
There were services here for the people who lived here, the residents, like a mental health hospital, I guess, some facility to help them there, but also an actual physical hospital for aches and pains and whatever, right?
That's right. This hospital was actually added
sometime.
This is the building, and it was added in the 1980s. It was primarily for women who were no longer ambulatory.
Still has beds, still has chairs.
Prior to this, women had to leave the property to be treated, but it was just easier, especially with the women who had dementia, to stay on property.
What kinds of things? I assume that they had the same kind of illnesses and situations we have today. Somebody broke their leg, they'd end up here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, people who end up in wheelchairs. Maybe they slipped and broke their hip. You know, it could be any number of things as people get older.
The care has advanced so much to this day. Mm-hmm. What was the care like back in the day of this hospital being utilized?
Well, I think that in places like this, which a lot of wealthy people were here, they probably got really top care.
What was it about the wealthy people? That's who came to sanatoriums back there in the 20s?
Well, I think that a lot of them, yeah, they could afford to do so. And just so you know, women could either stay in a private bedroom, they could share a room, there were dorms, but really wealthy women could rent an entire house out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what in $1920 that might have been?
I wish I knew.
I wish I knew too, because yeah. It'd be a whole lot more money today, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
This place here, though, is really a landmark in care.
Well, it is, and I think it's easier to imagine that type of care when you look around, and it hasn't changed. It's slowly falling apart, but
yeah, it is. Look up at the ceiling there; you can see that it's
the water
falling
damage.
Apart. Right, exactly. The water damage.
But it's easy to imagine the women that were here as residents.
This is a pretty spectacular place. I mean, I think I can hear the voices of the past.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, where are we headed now?
This is the Pines Building.
The Pines Building.
The Pines Building.
And it is what?
It is where Marilyn Monroe's mother lived for about 16 years.
She lived here 16 years, and so did a lot of other people in rooms just like this one. It still looks like...
It looks like somebody just left.
Yeah, it's sort of. Let's go down the hallway here and take a look at some of this stuff. And as you go from room to room, you know, it does look a little frozen in time.
I think so. It's a time capsule, is the way I like to word it.
Yeah, but it's even more interesting than that, because you walk into a room like this one, and there's still clothes in the closet.
Yes. Look at that. I
don't know how old this is, but there's some pretty old clothing in here.
Yes, there are.
Beds are still made.
Oh, inside here, you can see some old photos.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the photos are yellowed with time as well.
Yes.
And you can see, I've got old photos that look like that, actually.
I think I do, too.
We talked about Marilyn Monroe's mother, and she lived back in this area somewhere. You want to show us?
She did, in this bedroom over here. It's pretty small, nothing fancy.
Yeah, there's an interesting story about her, isn't there?
There is, because she was known as an escape artist. And I love this part, because she could have left, is my understanding, at any point. But she would come up with creative ways to escape. And in this room, she tied some bed sheets together and lowered herself through that little window, which, in the closet.
So we're talking about the window right in here?
That's the window.
She lowered herself out of this window right here on sheets?
She must have been tiny, because, yeah, that's a pretty...
I guess so. I mean... Yeah, it's not that far a drop either, is it?
No, it's not. And she actually went quite a distance.
Yeah. And there was another famous person who lived here on the property, not necessarily in this building here, and that was?
That was Billy Burke, Glinda from The Wizard of Oz.
I remember her. I'm interested in the past. I'm also interested in what's going to happen to this place in the future. So it closed a number of years ago.
It closed about 15, 16 years ago, changed ownership, and then the city of Glendale purchased it about 4 years ago. And received a grant for $8 million from the state of California.
What are they going to do with that money?
The plan is to convert it or to build a library or a museum in this building right here in the Pines about mental health.
Hey, it certainly feels like a museum already.
It does.
I'm sure you throw a few million bucks at it, it's going to be pretty spectacular. Okay. You know, coming up next on Fox 11 News in Depth, we're going to take you to a place in South Pasadena where you can get a prescription, a souvenir, and even a phosphate. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and I'm with Mimi Slough, and your book is called again?
Oldest Los Angeles.
And one of the places that's the oldest in Los Angeles County is this place right here. It is the Fair Oaks Pharmacy.
Yes, it is.
It's 100 years old.
It is over 100 years old. It opened in 1915.
And, you know, back in the day, these soda fountains were very popular. You know, tell me a little bit about the history of this place.
So when it first opened, Gertrude Osman opened it. She was a female entrepreneur, which was pretty, you know, progressive at that time, too, in South Pasadena. And the pharmacists here would work the counter. They would, you know, make lunch and serve their phosphates while customers waited for their prescriptions. And the idea is, since it's a compound medication, the phosphates would flavor it and make it easier to take the medicine.
You know, if you're not familiar with that word, phosphate, basically a chocolate phosphate would be like chocolate syrup with, I guess, what we would consider seltzer water today, phosphate.
This drink is going to be chocolatey and sweet, but then also like it's going to have like a tang and a little bit of like a sour bitterness to it that people just love so much.
And another popular one was wild cherry phosphates.
Oh.
Very similar. They put the flavoring in. An egg cream was a little different. They put milk into that.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is these were drinks back in the day. You don't necessarily see them today unless you come to a place
unless
like
you come
this.
Here. Yeah.
And so this place not only has the soda fountain counter, it also has a whole array of things going on in here. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, it's an old-timey place where you can find candy that you normally wouldn't find at other stores.
Yeah, I got to tell you about that candy. When I was a little kid in elementary school, those little dots that you peel off the paper and eat, or Lick-A-Maid, the powder that you, I still taste them.
I wonder if you can find them here.
Maybe, it's possible. They've got all kinds of candies back here. What else do they have? They have another room over there.
In the other room, they have all this paraphernalia. Marilyn Monroe lunchboxes.
Route 66.
Route 66.
Yeah, we're on Route 66.
Elvis Presley.
I remember him.
Yep, I remember him too.
Yeah, and so it's kind of a, again, almost like the last segment, it's a trip back in time.
Definitely, it is. I like the ambiance here. I think they've retained it. It's comfortable. And as you see, there are a lot of families here, actually.
Yeah, well, this is in South Pasadena. It's a neighborhood pharmacy.
It is.
And so unlike some of your chain pharmacies here and there, this has a little more of a, maybe a little folksy feel to it.
I think so. And then the ice cream, you know, they serve really large portions, banana splits and other tasty
items. Yeah, but that's all about
items.
The counter.
That's all about,
That's all about the counter, and that's really what's charming about a place like this, mm-hmm. where you can come up, grab yourself a soda, a phosphate, or maybe a slice of apple pie, whatever, and then you may also want to buy a Marilyn Monroe poster.
You could do that, buy some gifts, get your prescriptions.
How do places like this sort of fit into the sort of the history of our town, our county?
I think because it is the oldest of its kind, and it stays relevant even though it's the oldest, and that's, I think, how it's able to survive.
The oldest. So we're really not necessarily going to find anything quite as old as this, but unless we're talking about me. Got you there,
and
didn't
me.
I? When we come back, we're going to take you to a bowling alley that was built back in the days of Prohibition, something else that's old.
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this here on Fox 11 News in Depth. Don't go away.
Well, come get your phosphate. What is wrong?
Basically, this is the syrup and seltzer water. Mm-hmm.
And phosphoric acid.
And what?
Acid. The phosphate.
Oh, and look, they have the wax lips, too. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, along with Mimi Slowoff, and look where we ended up, in an alley, and not the dark and scary kind that you might be thinking about. We're in a bowling alley, and this is a really, really old bowling alley. It's over a century.
It is an old bowling alley. I'm told it's the oldest in the West, in fact.
Highland Park Bowl,
it opened during the Prohibition.
In
1927, and the reason they were successful is, well, it's a two-story facility, and the doctor's offices were upstairs, pharmacists, so people could go upstairs and get their prescription for medicinal whiskey. It would cost about $3 at the time. Then they'd come down and bowl and listen to music and...
Yeah, the men's room up there has something that says Dr. Wentz office.
Yeah, I saw that.
But you know, it's interesting because even the flooring here, The alley itself is the original flooring, they tell me. So it's worn down, but they haven't changed it.
No, it really is very natural. It lends itself, I think, to the ambiance of the bowling alley.
You know, you look outside and it really looks like an old rundown building. You walk inside and it's like, whoa.
Oh, it's so impressive. Well, I like the door at the beginning too. It's like the pull-up garage.
Yeah, I mean, this whole place is this whole show has felt like we've taken a trip into the past, and certainly this bowling alley is part of that trip backwards. Why'd you pick this location in your book?
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, I really like bowling alleys, but just, you know, taking a look at it here and realizing this is like the perfect fit. In fact, it's one of my favorite places in the book, to be honest.
It's really phenomenal. And, you know, even the chandeliers over the bars made of
the pin setters.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, they are.
The pin setters, right? That's what they're called.
Right.
So they're the things that put the pins down over the alley and then pick them back up again.
Yes.
Chandeliers, whoever thought?
I mean, how creative, right? And then the bar shelves up there are made from bowling machines as well. They've really incorporated a lot of the vintage elements into the decor.
And you look upstairs, there are old lockers and old bowling balls.
I mean, yes.
Really old bowling balls.
Yep, and bowling pins, and even these bowling balls are very old.
You know, it's interesting, you look at some of the pictures along the wall, you see the great big fat ties and the dress of the day. And you sort of take yourself back and you sort of imagine, what was that like?
Well, you know, I think it wouldn't be too hard to imagine in a way when you're standing here or when you're bowling here.
What is it that you learned about this place as you investigated it, researched it?
Yeah, well, in the 1980s, apparently, bowling alleys diminished. And then, and I think it was 2014, the 1933 group, this great group that restores local historic places.
Yeah, like the Tale of the Pup and some other places we've talked about on this show.
Yep. So they came in and they wanted to, when they came in, the bowling alleys were covered up. And so was the mural in the back, which was painted in the 1930s by the Anderson brothers. So when they came in, they were able to peel back and reveal the natural beauty and age of the bowling alley.
I mean, it is stunning as you look around. You know, you got the sort of a second floor for tables and chairs, but you get up there and you look down here, and it's a pretty remarkable view, right?
It is, it is. And I think, well, they open pretty late in general, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I think it's 2 o'clock on Saturdays. So pretty much it's really for the over 21 crowd, most of the hours that they're operating.
Right.
I think it's a happening place at night with, they have music in Mr. T's room over there, and it evokes the same feeling, I think, that it did when it first opened.
Which is the same feeling that was probably evoked by any of the music back when the sanitarium was in operation.
Yes.
And even back in the day when the drugstore was open and people were going to the soda fountain.
Yes, exactly. Same thing, the old-fashioned soda fountain.
The old-fashioned soda fountain.
Old-timey.
You know, it's important to have places like this.
Well, I think it is, because it gives people a peek into the past. And yet, places that are successful like this stay relevant by offering good services.
Let's go take a look over here, because there's history in every corner of this place.
There is.
They call this Mr. T's party room, I guess.
Yes.
One of a number of party rooms. And you know, it's interesting, out here, they've got the most interesting vending machines. I think the machine that's really captured my attention is that one right there. This is a really old machine.
From the 1930s.
I hope the candy isn't from the 1930s.
I bet it is.
Well, who knows? I'm not buying it, but it says it's all out. And look at the price, 10 cents.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Long time ago on a planet far, far away. And back over this way, you know, we talked about that chandelier made of pin setters. What a pin setter is it drops down the pins, it picks up the pins. I've never seen anything like that. It's pretty clever.
It's very clever, a really creative use of the pin setters. I've never seen that either.
And also, these little lamps are made out of pins, too.
They're so cute. I love
them. Everything is thematic.
Yeah.
But over the years, this place has changed a little bit here and there.
It has changed a lot. So in 1966, Joseph and Teresa, I think is his name, Mr. T, better known as Mr. T, not the Mr. T.
Right.
He purchased it, but he covered up the bowling lanes, covered up the historical mural back there, and instead converted it into like a grunge music venue. And then he passed away in 2005. I believe the lovely facility was actually vacant for a while until 2014, when it was purchased by the 1933 group.
The 1933 group came in and they did all of this stuff and tried to make it more hip.
Exactly. They uncovered the lanes, there was a big curtain covering the lanes. So they took the curtain down. They found the mural, which was a surprise, a pleasant surprise for them. And then, it took quite a while, but they were able to restore the bowling alley to resemble more or less what it looked like when it opened.
There's something about taking the old and making it new again.
Exactly, and that's what they did, right? It looks old, but it's relevant. They actually added the leather couches, which were not a part of the original bowling alley. There were, I think back then it was wood benches instead. So they just made it very cozy, very comfortable, still offering alcohol and music.
Which is why it's 21 and over.
Yes.
But it is one of these places that if you walk by it, the outside is sort of like, it looks like a grungy old building.
It does. No, it's kind of a cool thing though. I think it adds to, I don't know, just the charm of it.
Yeah, because you walk inside, it's just exactly like a diamond in the rough.
So. It is.
All right, Mimi, Fox 11 News continues right after this break. We'll be right back. And finally, don't forget our podcast. It's called What the Hal, and it's available wherever you get your podcast, or just go to whatthehalpodcast.com. And this book, Oldest Los Angeles, about the oldest things in Los Angeles County, Mimi Sloss book, and we're so grateful for you to join us. And you know, something about this, the oldest themed restaurant, the oldest museum, the oldest outdoor mural, the oldest remaining Orpheum Theater. What are a couple of the oldest things that you like that we haven't talked about so far?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, one of my favorites too was the Golden Gopher, and it's the oldest dive bar in downtown LA. It's from 1905, and so long ago that President Roosevelt was said to have rode up on his course and had a drink there. And then over the years, it just kind of became a cover for drugs and prostitution until said Moses purchased it and renovated it. It still has an old-timey bar. You go in, you can play pool, a little smoking patio outside. So that's one of my favorite places.
What's another one?
Then the oldest mural. I think I find a lot of people don't really know about that. It is in downtown Alvera Street, actually. And a Mexican artist, David Siqueiros, was commissioned to paint an idealized tropical scene on the exterior wall of the Italian Hall. Instead, he painted a very strong political statement on U.S. imperialism in Latin America. It was whitewashed for 30 years. And then after about 30 years, the paint peeled off, and the Getty Institute and the City of L.A. partnered to conserve the mural.
Well, for a lot of these things, the paint peels off, but the memories and the infrastructure sort of remains. Thanks for joining us, Mimi. And that's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.